Our sermon today is based on a reading from Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 to 23. Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." And God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you the name the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." And the Lord continued, "See, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Thank you, God, for giving us glimpses of your glory. Today we're going to embark on a four-week sermon series about the face, the hands, the eyes, and the heart of God, the presence, the power, the perceptions, and the passion of God, parts of God which we who love and serve God are. We are God's hands and face and God's eyes and God's heart. Remember, however, that Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4:24, "God is a spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth." So we know God does not have a physical body like we do. God is not flesh and blood and bone like us. But throughout the Bible, we read verses about physical attributes of God, including God's feet, God's arms, and even God's nose and backside. This helps us imagine the unimaginable in terms we understand, in terms of what we know with our limited human understanding. It makes us feel closer to God if we can imagine God with hands, feet, eyes, ears, a heart. After all, didn't God say, "Let us make humankind in our own image," at the beginning of creation? So shouldn't that mean God has the same body parts we have? Eyes, ears, a mouth, a face, arms, hands, legs? Or does it mean on a more esoteric level that it's not talking about how we look physically, but how we are crafted spiritually? Perhaps so. It could be a whole other sermon series. But let's stick to the one we've already introduced. The term Bible scholars use is anthropomorphism, which means giving God human characteristics and human traits and human body parts. We have to remind ourselves that we cannot really picture what God looks like. And even when we do imagine God in heaven in human form, it certainly isn't an accurate portrayal of the Heavenly Father, because our understanding is limited, finite, not all-knowing and infinite like God's understanding. It is an age-old question: what does God look like? How do you picture God in your mind? As an older white-skinned man in a long white robe with white hair and an unruly flowing beard seated on a massive throne? Those have been some of the historic artistic depictions of God, like we see in Michelangelo's picture of the creation of Adam on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. The Gospel of John emphasizes no one has ever seen God. It is the only Son, himself God, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. God chose to send Jesus to us in a human form so we could have something, someone we could relate to and feel comfortable with, because he looked and acted like us. He ate, he slept, he drank, he wept, he died. Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father," not what God looks like, but what God is like: compassionate, caring, loving. And Moses, like all of us do at one time or another, longed to see God's face. Moses was about as close to God as any human being could have been. God spoke with Moses face to face. Moses met God on Mount Sinai, and the experience was so transformative that when he came back to the ordinary people at the foot of the mountain, Moses had to cover his face because it shone with God's glory, and the people weren't able to look at him. Still, this is an odd request from Moses, this plea to see God's glory. Earlier in the book of Exodus, right at the start of the desert wanderings, God's glory was prominently displayed in the pillar of fire and cloud that led the Israelites by day and kept watch over them by night. Then the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. The scripture says the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the Israelites. So in essence, Moses had already seen God's glory. What more did he want to see? God's very face? Was he actually asking, "What do you look like, God?" Was Moses overstepping his boundaries? Were his motives noble? Did he want to be able to describe exactly what God looked like to the people? His eyes are such and such a color, and he has a Roman nose. Did Moses even want to say, "God looks just like me"? Did Moses really understand what he was asking for? Moses could not see God's face because its glory would have been too intense for him to survive even just a glimpse of it. God was being very gracious to Moses by denying this request. God was keeping him alive because God had work for him to do. Still, Moses wanted to take some of the mystery of God away from God, but I don't think that was such a good idea. To picture God in one set way is to limit God. One would think, this is what God looks like, and God will never look any different. But when the Bible talks about seeing God's face, it doesn't mean an actual face with eyes and ears and lips and a nose and eyebrows. The Hebrew word used here is panim. What the Bible means by panim is God's presence, the essence of God's being. It's the whisper of the still small voice directing our paths. It's the touch of a breeze letting you know someone is there when you're caught up in despair. It's the stirring in your heart at hearing a comforting Bible verse that you receive just when you need it. It's the light that dazzles your eyes when you look around at the beautiful world God has created for us. That's where God's glory, God's presence, God's panim is. That's where Moses should have looked. That's where Moses would have seen God's face, and it would not have killed him. All he had to do was look around him, and there were signs of God's glory everywhere. God was gracious, as God promised to be. God compromised and let Moses see his back as God walked away from him. Moses was still blessed to be able to see all of God's goodness, all of God's light. It's interesting to note that Exodus 24 describes a meeting between God and Moses, along with the priests Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. They went up to the mountain at God's call, and they saw the God of Israel. The scripture says, under his feet there was something like a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. God did not lay his hand on the chief men of the Israelites. They beheld God, and they ate and drank with God. Does this negate everything else we have heard and seen in the Bible? Did these lucky few really get to see God face to face? Knowing what we know now, it may be safe to say that they perceived God's spiritual presence, but there was no physical manifestation of God. Well, what about those feet then, and the hand that God did not lay on them? And we'll learn more about God's hands as a metaphor for power next week. Again, it's a way to describe the indescribable. Underneath the glow and glory of God, they could see something solid. It was something God had created. And again, we see God most clearly in God's creation. Other Bible characters have had encounters with God where they believe they actually saw God. The prophet Isaiah had a vision of God sitting on a throne in the temple, and he was thoroughly convinced and absolutely awed. I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, dwelling among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Gideon in Judges 6 had an encounter with an angel of the Lord and cried out, "Help me, Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." There are many other scriptures that talk about God's face. Remember the line in the Mizpah that says, "The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you"? God says numerous times to the people, giving them a warning about disobeying or straying from God. I will set my face against you. I will surely hide my face from you. God promises, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. God's presence doesn't come to us to condemn. God's face does not frown down upon us. But God is yet a righteous God. When we are disobedient or when we ignore God, God has to turn away, because God's eyes are too pure to behold evil, and God cannot look on wrongdoing. But when we are in sync with God, following God's way and doing God's will, God causes God's face to shine upon us. God brings the precious presence among us, blesses our work and our willingness. It gives us light and assurance that we are doing the right thing and walking the right way. With that blessing, that light, that aura, with the presence of God surrounding us, we become the face of God because it is now part of us. We shine with the light of God's presence just as Moses did. We walk down the mountain made up of all the difficulties of life, and we stand out and we shine out because we have seen God. We have experienced God's presence in our lives. We have seen prayers answered and healing happen and goodness being poured unceasingly into our open hands. Do we cover up that grace and glory like Moses had to? Of course not. We turn our face, shining with the presence of God, to others to let them know that same glow can be theirs too. God's presence is all around us. God's glory shines all around us. It is part of our lives now because we are part of God. We are the face of God, bringing to everyone not the judgment they may expect, not the wrath they may feel they deserve, but the love and the power that God wants all of God's children to experience. When people see us, do they think, ah, there goes God? We want them to, don't we? We want them to see in us acceptance, goodness, humility, joy, peace, the glory of God, the presence of God. That's what puts a smile on our faces, knowing God and serving God. But we do not hoard all this goodness. We don't say, this is all ours and no one else can have it. We know that the more of God's presence we present, the more of God's presence there is to give. It is not infinite. It does not end. And one day, when the world winds down and God's work is complete, we will realize our dearest wish, Moses' heartfelt wish, to see God's face with our very own eyes. Revelation 22, 3-4 talks about the heavenly realm and asserts nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face. That is God's promise to us. Let us pray. Your face, your presence, O Lord, we do seek. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine upon us that we may be saved, set aside, and empowered to take your precious presence to the people who need to know your healing, your hope, and your love. Send us forth to the waiting, wounded, worried world, and may all who see us not just see us, but you, your face, your panim, your presence, shining in and through us. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. God's grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Dissolve a grace appeared the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I have been freed. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, my mercy reigns in loving love, amazing grace. The earth will soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be